Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily, Old Dirty and the Blondie and...
Is that my boy Ron?
That's him. And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags, have the latest. I know you two won on the strikeouts, so y'all got a little cash for that, and he paid you out pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He paid it right out. But how'd you do the rest of the day? All right,
won about 200 for me.
200 for you. All right,
yeah,
you
go. That's all I did, bub.
That's all you did. What you got tonight? I know you own it big time.
Oh yeah, let's go.
Yes. So much like yesterday, I'm not going to use this L word, but I feel pretty strongly that this one bet could be money in the bank. And that is Hunter Brown over 6.5 strikeouts tonight against the Oakland A's. Also, over 4.5 runs for your Astros. Offense was lacking in 12 innings last night. They come out and explode. I think they put up a snowman or something.
They fought.
So over 4.5 over over Hunter Brown strikeouts. And I'm also, again.
6.5. Hunter Brown strikeout.
Yes, right. Yes, yes. I'm sorry. 6.5. And last one, I'm on Altuve to get over 1.5 bases. He's seeing the ball good right now. And he does.
Yeah, Arrigetti fought it. And then eventually they came through with swings and misses. I don't know, Tyler. Clint, you've been awfully quiet over there. You go.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it.
About that,
just remember, boys, scared money does not make money.
Never does.
Never. Yeah, not once, not never.
It does. But just reckless can lose it.
Mm. True.
And the L word. And feeling really good about it.
Hold on, so.
It loses. I felt really good about that four-game series. But do your thing. Think about it. Clint is thinking about it.
I'm going to think long and hard.
Get with you. All right. Remember, 5 O'Clock Fire is also brought to you by Kirk Holmes. We appreciate our good friends at Kirk Holmes. Clint, some roster moves from the Texans as they get ready to play Chicago Bears. If you missed it, we carried D'Amico Ryans at 2:25, second segment in the 2 o'clock. You can find that on the podcast page, as well as C.J. Stroud. They were both pretty good. We carried C.J. Stroud, 3:25. In the podcast page in the 3 o'clock hour, you can find that there too. But Clint, the Texans, they have to place one of their corners, Jeff Okuda, on injured reserve, and you know right now that doesn't sound like a big deal. By the way, the moves they made off of that, they've signed Rashad Weaver to the active roster from the practice squad. They've also brought back Dez King again and Troy Pride, who were with them in training camp. But that doesn't mean right now a ton. But I think the Texans' depth in their cornerback situation is something that you at least have to pay attention to, Clint, just because of the history of Derek Stingley. All right, in his 2 years, he has missed significant time each year, and the hope that is something that doesn't happen again. But you still want to have, and which the Texans did, quality guys back there that you can turn to. Last year it was Shaq Griffin. This year, Jeff Okuda. They had C.J. Henderson in camp. You know, we'll see what happens. But right now, they've dropped down from Okuda, and they have to add this Weaver gentleman into the lineup. So that is, that on the surface, not a big deal, but could get to that potential.
Yeah, just luckily, you know, the I think we got a lot of the wide receiver room and the depth there got a lot of run this offseason. And we should have talked a lot about the depth at the cornerback position as well. We spent a lot of time talking about Kamari Lassiter and obviously the greatness or the potential greatness of Derek Stingley. But the reality is they were 4 or 5 deep at the corner position of guys that not starting caliber guys, but guys that if they had to play in a backup role, you'd feel pretty comfortable with. I mean, they had some dudes that had played some football in the NFL. You know, in the 4 or 5 deep at corner. So if you're going to get an injury anywhere, you hate for it to be your first man off the bench. But if you are, glad it's at a position where there's guys out there on the streets that you just cut that know your system, that you know exactly who they are, that you can pick up and bring back in and have them in the building just in case you need them. So, look, I thought Jeff Okuda would end up starting this year before the Kamari Lassiter arrival. But so you hate to lose a guy of that caliber, but again, it's a deep position. I think the Texans will be fine.
Yeah, they should be fine. And like you're saying, and we talked about earlier, when you can bring guys into your system that know exactly what you're doing,
yep,
you feel good about it. And we'll see one of these. We'll see who's active and who's not in the game on Sunday. But that's where they have to go. Jeff Okuda. By the way, and I apologize, Jeff. I didn't even see him in.
It had to be special teams because I didn't see it either. When I saw it on the injury report, like after the game, I think the ticker said it. I was like, Sean, I didn't know Jeff played. Must be special teams.
By the way, speaking of injury report, the injury report is out. And for the Texans, MJ Stewart, who missed the last game, did he practice, Tyler? I don't think he practiced. I know he's on the
list. I believe he and the tight end on the list were both DNPs.
Okay, so and then the bigger one is Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz with an ankle did not practice today. And so he shows up on the injury report, which is one to look at, Clint. This is Wednesday. They practice indoors due to the weather, but if we get in here while we're at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow, out in Katy, if we get in here tomorrow and Dalton Schultz hasn't practiced again tomorrow and didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday, now this jumps up to a much bigger deal. Although didn't have a huge role in the game in terms of what you would think of with him in the passing game. Still big to have that threat out there of Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, look, he's your underneath threat. I mean, he's the guy that consistently, which I've got to really, nail down what the Colts were doing defensively in terms. CJ said something about seeing softer coverage. I was under the impression that they would probably be, the film would show that they played tighter coverage. It looked like CJ Stroud wasn't getting the ball out as quick. He was having to get through progression. So whatever they were doing, had CJ in a little bit of a funk from time to time, and you got to think getting out of that, the getting back to what you did last year, which was immediately take the boring stuff. A big part of that would be Dalton Schultz, right? Dalton Schultz is a big part of this offense any way you slice it. Really, really, because he's the only proven tight end that can put his hand in the dirt and do what tight ends do in the run game and the pass game. So he's a big key, generally speaking. But if you talk about offensively, C.J. Stroud getting back in that groove, I would think it'd be a lot easier to get there if Dalton Schultz was on the field.
So yeah, that's the main one that we'll keep an eye on to see if Dalton Schultz will miss any time. Tomorrow's a big practice day for him as the Texans get ready to face the Bears coming up on Sunday.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, before we get to what's going on tonight here with the Astros, they take on the A's. Joe Espada, a couple of updates injury-wise, and many people wonder, oh, man, Kyle Tucker isn't in the lineup. He gives an actual update here on Kyle Tucker, who has just been DHing. He came back Friday. He's been the DH since then. Here is Joe Espada with the latest on Kyle Tucker.
Still in that kind of rehab format, he's available off the bench. He should be able to, bless you, he should be able to start tomorrow and then hopefully get him in the outfield in LA. His swing looks great. His timing still would be off, but the swing looks really good.
That sounded like a cat call more than it did a sneeze, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people, that sounded like somebody trying to hold it in and then they got the best of him. All right, so it was a scheduled off day. And could see him in their next road trip in Anaheim on the out in the outfield. So that to me has been the next step. When do we see him playing in the outfield? And apparently that is something that potentially is coming soon as they go on the road to Anaheim. So that is big to see him because, as we talked about it, Clint, the big reason is, now you've got some flexibility. It has almost felt like, all right, hey, I want to use this DH spot, and sometimes that means maybe Bregman may have to miss a game or somebody may have to be out so we can use that DH spot with Kyle Tucker, or we're playing Jordan in left field more than we want to. him being able to get in right field is a big thing so they can have the flexibility with that lineup at the DH spot.
Some level of flexibility. There's a chance he may play into that DH role the way it's been a turnstile all year long. He may play into it anyway. But to your point, you know, you've got Diaz who you'd like to keep in the lineup whether he's catching or not. You got Yordan Alvarez who you'd like to keep in the lineup whether he's in left field or not. You know, you would like to get Caratini in there just so you got your best bats, you know, on the field or in the lineup. So there's so many different ways that DH, throw Bregman in there as well. You'd like to have that DH be pretty fluid so that Bregman can have off days in the field and still swing the bat. So they're putting a lot. There's a lot riding on the DH, right? I mean, you got several guys right now that ideally, coming down the stretch here in the season, you'd like to be able to rest them accordingly, where now all of a sudden it becomes a chess match of when you can rest who because you got so many guys that need it. So getting Kyle Tucker back in the field, I would think that would open up that DH a little bit more than just, hey, if we're going to get Kyle Tucker in the lineup, he's got to be in the DH. That'll give him a little bit more flexibility there.
Absolutely. And some other updates, Chaz McCormick, who – had a wrist issue. He said he's fine. No fracture or anything where they did the X-rays, but they're going to get more imaging to get him tested. Also, Blanco, we'll see about that imaging. Blanco will return back to the rotation in Anaheim. Because there was a wonder, all right, when are they going to actually start going back to the six-man rotation? Well, he'll join the rotation back in Anaheim. So that is the latest injury-wise with that. But moving forward past that, Clint, tonight, Hunter Brown, and that ERA keeps coming down. It is now sub 3.350, 3.41 right now, 11-7. He has been fantastic, an ERA of 0.48 in his last three appearances. Hopefully they can get back on the winning track tonight with Hunter Brown behind him. But you want to continue to see him. This, for me right now with Hunter Brown, the expectation of what he's been given, this is one he should shut down. This is one he should.
Yeah, Ron, the reason I'm hesitating on the bets is I really like two.
You really like what?
I really like two of them.
You really like two of who? Two of the bets?
Mm-hmm. Let's ride.
I like Hunter Brown and the Astros over.
Woo! Those are my two favorites.
Let's ride.
So why don't you put money on both?
I'll probably do is end up parlaying them so that I don't. I mean, because look, I can risk 100.
But you can't parlay it with him.
No, well, no. But if I bet them individually, what are the odds on those, Tyler? What's the odds on them strikeouts? -140, probably. So I got to get right there, bub. If you're as confident as I am in both of them.
And you feel good about them.
The over 4.5 runs for the Houston Astros is about even odds, -120. And the over 6.5 Ks for Hunter Brown, yeah, those odds are not as friendly. That is at -160.
-120 is around about even money. No, it ain't. It's $20, man.
Well,
it's,
I mean,
20 extra bones, Chief.
Any given even bet is at like -110 or.
I said juice. You're juice, boy. Your guy, he's juicy.
He likes to get a little juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Likes to get a little juicy. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's on you, man. I'm good.
Is that my boy Ron?
Oh yeah. No, I didn't ever think you were gonna dip off in there.
No, I'm good on that, man. Not after how a close call right there on them strikeouts for me. Be like, hey man, we leaving good. Let's walk on off.
The show, man.
Not y'all. Y'all roll in here big time. So, big one tonight. We'll see if the lineup can score more runs than they did last night and not lose, put themselves in jeopardy, lose the series to the A's.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last thing, and this will be something we'll talk about tomorrow because a big game in the AFC East. Josh Allen's been cleared. He had a hand injury. It was wrapped pretty good after the game. He had it trying to jump. You know, Josh, jumping in to score a touchdown. He hurt his hand and injured his hand a bit, but he should be able to go. That's a big one tomorrow, them against the Dolphins on the road. And I'm telling you, you're looking at this, and I feel good about my MVP pick with Josh Allen, but you can see, boy, he is having to carry the show there. He is having to run the show there, and he did it. They put up 34 points, and They got off to a slow start, but he is most definitely, it's definitely all him in his show in there with that offense.
Well, the thing that you like about it, though, Ron, is...
And I trust him. I love it. I think he could do it.
Well, it's I agree with you. I trust the way that they're playing football is the best way to use Josh Allen. You know, the part you can't trust is when they put him in that mode of, hey, let's just drop back and rip this thing down the field. He gets overly aggressive with it, and it causes problems, and you end up losing games, right? Now, you can compete with the best when you're on, and it's right, but the problem is well, when it's not, it's ugly. So this way right here, one, it's difficult to stop. It's going to create opportunities outside, and you can trust Josh to just play big body, downhill football, enjoy the run game, quick pass game, and then he select your times when you want to push it down the field instead of just being an all-out vertical attack. I actually like this and trust this. I think trust is the right word you use. I think that's the biggest. This is when you can trust Josh Allen.
And you spoke about it to me. Their run game from week one looks like it may be one of the better run games in the league. Like Cook was a Pro Bowl running back for them last year anyway. But he you know, him, Josh had 40 yards. He had 70 yards. And then I watched a couple plays. Their backup, Davis, he runs hard. Yeah. And you can see their run game to go along with what Josh can do to keep – it's a good thing, clearly, for them that they started the track of this last year of putting more priority on the run game because it is paying off. So, interesting game for them tomorrow. Them against the Dolphins, which has been a crazy week for the Dolphins, but that'll be a fun matchup. But Josh Allen should be able to go in that game. He seems to be cleared with that left-hand issue. All right, Clint watched the All-22 and said Kenyon Green put in work. We'll have to get a breakdown on what he saw from Kenyon Green and somebody on the other side who is a hail to deal with for the Texans moving forward. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Was she listening? She hasn't sent you anything yet.
No, she hadn't sent me anything yet, so she must not be listening. She would have sent it. She would have sent me something if she's listening.
No, but see, you two are in a different place than I am. Like, I mean, my wife's got some friends here, but you know, they not. I don't know that they listening like that. You two, y'all got family. Y'all got a lot of people that can pass messages to Megan and to Lauren.
True.
And I damn sure know there is somebody listening out of your family and friends that will pass. That would, hey, turn it on. You listening? You just never know who's.
Hey, show.
That one.
That
one probably wouldn't do you in, but there's some others. It's Ginger out there. There's some others who may shoot her a text. I bet you if some of the times
she's probably caught wind of it. She responded to an Instagram video I sent her.
Okay. Well, she's good.
Probably wasn't a good idea to send it either after I'm thinking about it.
Well, I don't know what the video is.
Well, it was for those mothers out there that had a baby that don't want to let you put them down. It's probably a sign that you need to relax. Slow down. You need to slow down a little bit.
What are you doing, man?
She does. Need to slow down a little bit.
I think be what you tell us all the time. You need to be coachable.
Now, you just need to have some damn awareness.
Yeah, your awareness rating on Madden right now is negative 13.
Well, I mean, she responded to that in a good positive way.
Yeah. Good luck.
As I said, you know
she's very coachable, y'all. She'll come around.
She's very coachable. Yeah, I think she is. Anyway, so we are waiting. We are waiting on the outcome of that. But, Clint, I know we talked about this. Monday we came in, and for me it was the offensive line. And really, you know, the defensive line too, Clint. They stopped the run game pretty well for the Texans. So that was big up front, those two. We'll get to, I know, what really jumped off with you for this offense and with this offensive line in particular, but you got to watch, and it's always different when you watch it a second time, and even if you watch the All-22 and you could really kind of zone in on certain things. For you, Will Anderson, even though his name wasn't called a ton, just physically what he is able to do and how he probably wears people jumped off
Yeah, it's just impressive, man, how violent, how physical he is, and how he just never stops, man. I mean,
he has that motor.
I mean, like I said earlier, like if I were a tackle, I would prefer to go against Danielle Hunter. I would prefer to block the guy that's a more polished pass rusher, the guy that is more difficult to block in passing situations, that you know, may hit me with one of five or six or seven different moves. I would rather block the guy that had, what do you have, 16, 14 sacks, like whatever the hell it was last year. I would rather block that guy than have to deal with Will Anderson for four quarters. I mean, it's I don't know how one guy is that violent and that physical that many plays in a row. It's just, and he does it without, like I said, like you go out there. It'd be different if, like, he got off early in the game and got a sack or got a tackle for a loss and it was like, okay, yeah, I'm eating. But he's just beating his head against the wall and loves it. Can't get enough of it. Yeah, I mean, at one point in time in the video,
somebody
just jumps off the video, man. At one point, I don't even know who it is. I pause the video and he's got three dudes hanging on him. Like, they look like they're trying to tackle him. I mean, it's just like he just draws so much attention that it's wild. And for a guy that again, I mean, like, Will's been good and been very promising. He's been great as a player, but just like in the pass rush scenario, like he's a guy that you wouldn't think would be difficult to block. Just anchor down and be his match his physicality, and you got a shot, because there's not, like, at least not yet that he's shown, there's like this elite pass rushing skill set.
Yeah, but if you got to do it 50, 55 plays.
It don't matter if it's a run play, don't matter if you're front side, back side, don't matter if they're slide protected or
it's
man protected.
It's gonna be physical. It's gonna be.
Yeah. I mean, it's that guy at practice that just goes way too hard for the entire practice, and you want to just go, hey man, I just want to go home, man. Let's just get this. It's a Tuesday practice. Let's get this over with, man.
He's serious, like a coach. When a coach says, every rep matters. He's dead ass serious.
Every rep, everything you got. If you're tired, tap your helmet. I'll bring you off the field. And he lives that way.
He won't even tap
it. I mean, it jumps off the video, man. It's just the physicality is on a whole other level, and the motor is on a whole other level.
And I remember Draymond Green, first person that I really, he would be serious about that. Like, that is a skill.
Oh, ain't no doubt about it.
Like,
valuable one.
The motor to come in every time and just, because everybody doesn't give 100% every time. He is one of those guys that just ate up with it 100% all the time. I see Jimmy Ward is like that. Jimmy Ward is a guy also who's going 100% every single time in that thing. But Will Anderson, I know, obviously jumped out on the offensive side. This may be the greatest developing story for the Texans right now. Because I remember before you said, man, if Kenyon Green can just kind of be a professional guard.
Starting guard in the league.
In the league, just a professional football player at guard. But you picked him out, and he was much more than that in the game on Sunday after watching it again.
Yeah. I hadn't got my offensive line watch. I haven't got completely through the fourth quarter yet. Unless the wheels come off late in the fourth quarter. Right now, I'm very confident in saying he was the best offensive lineman on the Texans on the field for the Texans on Sunday. I mean, when it comes to Kenyon, and it's not just, wow, boy, versus what I expected, Kenyon was good. No, if you took the names off the back of the jerseys, and you don't know anybody from anybody, and you're just watching the film, the first guy you would want to know, who is the left guard? I want to know who the left guard is, and I'm going to watch him the rest of the year, see how good this kid is. It doesn't matter, Ron, whether it was pass protection, slide or man, but pass protection, the middle of the line as a whole, but definitely Kenyon Green was holding their ground. They weren't giving a bunch of ground. They were holding their ground, giving C.J. Stroud somewhere to push up to. Kenyon Green in a run game. I mean, violent. And I'm on some really good defensive tackles in this league, moving guys 2, 3, 4 yards down the field before handing them over to Laremy Tunsil on that double team and getting to the second level and then punishing defensive backs or linebackers at the second level. Like it's hard to believe that that guy was ultimately labeled a bust for 2 years, and now all of a sudden he is.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that that guy who we saw who couldn't play, let's be honest with you, has gone from it. And I said this earlier, the confidence that he has to gain from this, is got to be out of control, because many times on what you rewatched, it was DeForest Buckner.
Mm-hmm.
It was their bet. They got two guys up the middle there.
We don't
are
like
good.
That.
And he and I saw, hell, I hadn't watched the whole 22 where you could just zone in on him from afar. Hell, I watched him, and I saw him multiple times just move 99 out of the way.
Ron, I have not seen the grades yet. And I'm really referring more to like the coaches' grades. The PFF stuff's interesting, but the coaches' grades, I don't even know if they do that, but if that's out there, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'd be surprised if Kenyon didn't grade out better than everybody as well. Like there were no mistakes. Like, I mean, he was Juice Scruggs left him one time. And I think that was on Juice. Him and Laramie Tunsil on the first run play, they drove Buckner 3 yards deep. And then both of them left to go to the second level. I don't know if that's Kenyon Green or Laramie Tunsil. I would, based on who Laramie went and tried to block, I would guess it's Laramie Tunsil. So it's just like, man, I didn't see many, if any, opportunities to even give him a negative. You know what I mean? Much less, you know, not playing well. It was tremendous, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
played his ass off.
It was, and Juice Scruggs is probably the second best, for being honest.
That's big. That's big for those two.
Juice is nasty, bro.
Two of them, yeah.
Juice got some.
Tyler was calling them the Bash Brothers.
Well, I mean, all joking aside, I don't know about that, but all joking aside, there's something there.
He was calling them the Bash
Brothers. I like it.
Yeah, he said that was Dean Portman and Fulton Reed from Mighty Ducks, basically. They're the
quack.
They're the
I didn't have that.
Quack.
I know.
Quack. Quack.
Those two, man. Go check them out, man.
God,
I watched Mighty Ducks. I didn't have the names though.
Yeah, 4-4, the big fella. They found he was just hitting them balls, breaking them car windows. The first one, anyway.
No slap shots.
Anyway, back up. Oh my God, the shooter.
Classic.
All right, let's get it, because Clint's got to take a victory lap, and it's one of those fun victory laps because he's pissed off in the victory lap. He's pissed off because, yes, he is right about what he saw last night, but he is not happy at all about it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I might set my alarm tonight now. If you don't know about the Shannon Sharp thing, I don't know how everybody's timelines are. I know Ocho was talking about it. It may not be up and down yours, depending on who you follow. It is up and down mine. I can't go down, but every five, if you missed it, he says he's been hacked. Apparently, he was knocking off some young lady, and he was on IG Live, and all you could do is hear the sounds of lovemaking.
Yeah!
In the background. Now, you mm-hmm. couldn't see it, but you can hear the sounds of lovemaking. And it sounded like his aggressive voice in the background, and it was rolling on there. It's all been up and down. It, Tyler, he says he has his nightly show with Chad Johnson. He says it's called Nightcap.
Mm-hmm.
They were here live, actually. D'Amico was
on
it.
Yeah, recently. Yeah.
D'Amico was on it. Andre Johnson was on it. Just put it out. Nightcap. Unk Tells All tonight.
Oh Lord!
Because he's been staying.
Yeah, that's alarm kind of, setting appointment
he's
viewing
been staying
for sure.
Clear of it. Yeah, like he was putting it on her too.
She was enjoying herself.
Sound like she was. Sound like he was as well. I'm into that. There you go. That's close to it. By the way, tomorrow we are at Buffalo Wild Wings on a Thirsty Thursday, and I'm telling you, we gave away great prizes yesterday. I mean, last Thursday, same location we were in. So if you were there last week in Katy, come on out again. If you weren't, make your way out there. Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy off Park Road Drive. We'll be there from 2 to 6. A lot of prizes. We hooked somebody up with Bears and Texans tickets. We hooked somebody up with a really huge, amazing cooler, all of it courtesy of Bud Light, multiple $25 gift cards as well. So come on out, hang out with us at Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy Park Road Drive, and you'll enjoy yourself. A little Thirsty Thursday.
Absolutely. So always good. Bud Light, big giveaways.
Man, they got them all of
gift cards.
When you get a chance,
tickets, all kind of stuff, man.
Come on out.
Hey, come on through, man. It's going to be a good time.
Hell yeah. Big City Wings on Friday. A little football Friday as well. Big City Wings.
Yes, sir.
So come check us out. Come hang out with us as we'll have a good time. Remember, right after we get finished here tonight, Texans All Access, they're going 6-8. And Nick Caserio, the GM. We just talked about Kenyon Green.
That big Nick energy.
Good time, Hannah, boy. You come real close now. Hannah, I ain't going to leave it alone. Like, when you say I have that big Nick energy, that clearly means that
I love it out of Hannah.
You ain't afraid to say what the real is, where that comes from.
Hey. They're from Montgomery County, bro.
Does this count as us being on your show?
Hey, they're from Montgomery County.
Got that
County.
Real Nick energy. She was proud of herself when she said it until you could hear it.
Ain't
got
no doubt.
That real Nick energy.
She went back. She went back to her old ways. She then she looked. She looked over and saw Cal. Said, "Oh, my bad. Let me check up. Let me hold back up."
Yeah, and that's living forever. But Nick Caserio on live 6-8 Texans All Access. I don't think Caserio will be on for 2 hours, but he will join the show. And also behind them, we are live in local Area 45 with Bajani and Creighton and Chris Santiago until midnight. So they'll take over after Texans All Access, and they'll roll until midnight. So stay tuned right here, Sports Radio 610, live and local. They have the postgame for you. Hopefully the Astros pull out a W. And they weren't able to pull out a W last night, Clint, because they made the decision not to bunt and move runners over and couldn't get runners home to walk off the game. And the A's, what do you know? They not only bunted once, they not only bunted twice, they bunted three times for three consecutive runners to reach base. And they scored two runs off of those two bunts.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Listen, hey, man, baseball rolls. Spencer Arrighetti held it together as long as he could. The bullpen held it together. Next thing you know, you get into the extras. It's 3-3, or it's 2-2. They get into extras. Bam. And you know how extra innings work, Hill. The Astros have been on the losing end on most of them. But, Clint, we go in there in the 10th inning. The Astros bullpen works this thing out where they don't allow that runner, that ghost runner at second base, to come around to score. And now all you got to do is get that runner who is the free base runner at second base with nobody else. All you got to do is get that run home. Alex Bregman comes up, didn't bunt, get it, understand they weren't able to take advantage of it to get that run home. Yiner Diaz wasn't able to pull it together. And then they end up not scoring in that inning. Then Brian Abreu comes through, blowing people away. They get it done again. We go to the 11th. The Astros have not given up a run. And now Kyle Tucker's the ghost runner. And here comes Victor Caratini.
Ghost runner. That's like playing baseball in Mr. Mallory's yard down the street on Park Street.
Yeah, he was the ghost runner.
Ghost runner.
Somebody was on second. Victor Caratini comes up, Clint. I thought, here we go. Now Joe is going to take control of this thing. I ain't going to bump Bregman, but Vic Caratini, the backup catcher, the third first baseman. Yeah, Vic's going to bunt. No, Jack, he didn't. He didn't. And they didn't score in that inning either. And then, as I said, the top of the 12th, the A's said, we ain't going to fool around with it. We're going to bunt. And then we're going to bunt again and bunt again. And they ended up losing 4-3. This, to me, was Obviously, throughout the game and in that 12th inning, the defense kind of failed the Astros. But this is one to me where I think Joe Espada's got to make the decision, and I don't think Joe Espada put his team in the best chance to win that game. That wasn't just a baseball happening to me. That was you not doing everything you needed to do. And I know as you as the king of small ball, I know you feel some level of vindication.
Yeah, it's just bad baseball, man. It's bad baseball. You're 5-10 in extra inning games for a reason, and it's just the whole go up there and just swing out of your shoes. There's no – the thought process should change dramatically in those situations. Look, if you're Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, cool. I would still say I would like for your mind, your mentality to change, your approach at the plate to change if according to what the count is. But if you want to go up there looking for a pitch you can end the game, cool, that's great. Now, if you get two strikes, let's figure out, let's play smart. Let's do something to at least attempt to move the runner if you're one of them, one of those, the big bats in the lineup. The rest of the guys, I mean, you got to have a plan. The plan cannot be for Carantini and Gamble and who, there was one more in the middle of there that, I mean, we just go up there and we're swinging out of our shoes and we just allow them to strike out. We don't even force them to make a play. Like, the interesting thing, Ron, is like there's something about forcing a first baseman that doesn't typically play first base to go make a play on a bunt. There's something about making a pitcher that's been sitting in a damn bullpen all day long to come out and make a play on a bunt. There's something about getting a runner to third base, which forces the infield in, which forces the outfield in, which, I mean, it changes the dynamic of the game. It changes the dynamic of the hitter at the plate. So I cannot stand the thought of just go up there, let's free swing this thing.
And listen, if Victor Caratini isn't a good bunter, doesn't bunt, Victor Caratini can come out of the game for somebody that can. Dubon was over there. I know for a fact. He can come out and he can bunt. Hell, I'll get a pitcher in there to bunt. Like, I mean, I put my best chance. If we don't get it, if we get them over there and whoever strikes out or whatever, Singleton, if that was who was coming up next, got it. But I got to put you in the best situation. Yes, I may sit back and let – I'm going to definitely sit back and let Alvarez, but I may sit back and let, you know, the Bregmans, the Tuckers roll through, but not Vic. No. Vic, your ass is bunt.
Well, we're not gonna go. We're not gonna
well,
go.
Somebody is.
We're not gonna go multiple extra innings. Just put it like this, because those guys can't cover every at bat in two plus extra innings. We're not gonna go multiple extra innings and never attempt to move a runner. That's bad baseball. It's plumb ass silly. The thought. By the way, let me the thought. I mean, and this has been pushed back in my face multiple times, personally and social media. The thought that Major League Baseball players don't bunt and can't bunt is plumb ass silly. You just watched one of the worst teams in baseball. They ain't even got a damn home anymore, and they got now the bunt that Diaz should have caught is
unnecessary.
Wasn't a good bunt
about their home.
But
the A's are homeless.
I mean, and then all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, a Espada will try to just randomly throw some small ball in every now and then, once every five or six extra inning games. Like, there's no plan.
We'll get all this little funk.
There's no plan. It doesn't matter who's at the plate. And the beautiful thing about last night is you saw having a plan. You saw playing the ability to play small ball. You saw the ability to force pitchers and catchers that are playing first base to make a play. You saw smart baseball.
That second, they pushed it towards Diaz.
Yeah,
make a play because he's
smart.
Not
baseball allowed a lesser team to win.
What is going on?
Get to that moment and have a plan, and you can beat a team you have no business beating. And that's what happened.
I think his plan, I would guess, Clint, was to lay back and let the guys handle it.
His plan was to walk John Singleton up there, who's a 160, 170 pinch hitter, to go up there and hope he hits one off the wall like he did. I mean, that's the plan.
But I thought with that 11, it was your time to step in.
It feels huge.
And take control. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. Remember, Nick Caserio, the general manager, will join them. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock, We're live and local until midnight with Area 45, Bajani and Creighton. Stay tuned. They'll have, hopefully, as we said earlier, a winning post game for the Astros. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. As always, we want to thank D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud for joining the show, kind of. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
I skipped the rhino at the last bachelor party we had in
was that
in
the name
Vegas.
Of the place or the stripper?
The spearmint rhino.
Oh.
I mean, boy, if a rhino shaking would be interesting.
I'm telling you, I would have to, doesn't sound like a dancer. I want myself. Part of it.
Yeah, here's the rhino to center stage. Text line coming in. A bachelor party in Miami at Tootsie's 100 pack wings. I bet them wings was good, man. They'd be out there.
And the world's all right with me.
That big Nick energy.